Welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, brothers and sisters. It's good of you to get around God's Word and all of us study together, and I thank you for doing that today. Today we're going to get back into our study of the subject of killing and what the Bible has, what the Bible, God's Word, has to say about what killing is and killing itself. And is the word killing in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's in there. The Lord Jesus Christ used the word kill and killeth and himself while he was here in the flesh. And today, just to recap a little bit, we've talked about the reasons for killing in the Bible, and we went through several of them to see what the Bible said or shows for reasons or reasons that killing took place, and reasons against killing in the Bible we talked about, and we talked about killing of Christians. I believe that was our last recording that we did together. And today we're going to go into the subject of homicide. Homicide as described in the Bible. Okay? What killing is? We talked about that. And the last several recordings I took and shared with you some things off of the news. Well, I got you some more of this this old stuff that's on the news. How about two boys, 12 and 15, charged in a gas station worker's fatal stabbing? This was about 3 hours ago, it says, that it was written. It said two boys, 12 years old and 15 year old, been arrested for murder for killing a gas station employee. Said they went into his place there, and they got into a confrontation, and when they got confronted for stealing, said both of they pulled out some knives and killed the man, stabbed him to death. And both of them been arrested for murder, for killing. They killed him, a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old, killed a man that was 37 years old running a gas station. Yeah. What else? That's not all. Here's a woman. She didn't actually get her killing done, but she was she was going through with it. What she done was she was convicted for a murder for hire. She actually hired someone that happened to be an undercover agent, a federal agent, and she hired him for $25,000 to kill her ex-husband. Yeah, that's 3 hours ago. Yeah, Tallahassee woman convicted. Here in Tallahassee, boy, I'll tell you what now. It's coming out of the closet. They coming out of the closet. Tallahassee woman convicted in murder for hire scheme. They caught her before she killed him. But she was going to even pay to have him killed. Pay to have him killed. Killed. Yeah. Here's another one. And they was having a funeral, burying an elderly woman. And when they went out to the graveyard, they was out there, and they had her casket out there, and they was going to bury her. The family was standing out there, and here comes driving up this fella in a car. And when he drove up there in the car, it was her son, and he was not invited to the funeral. And he was 36 years old, and his sister was there, and the family was there, and everything else. And he messed around, said it took a turn for the worse when her son started a fight with the sister and knocked over his mother's casket while trying to run over his relatives with his car at their funeral. He wasn't invited, and he went to the funeral with the intentions of killing his sister. Run her over with a car, and tried to. And hit somebody else that he wasn't intending on killing and tore up the graveyard and busted a bunch of pipes and all kinds of stuff and caused about $20,000 worth of damage, but he missed her. But he went to the funeral to kill her. To kill her. Yeah. Now these are some of the ones that thank the Lord that the people didn't actually die, but the intention was there. And that's what we're going to get into in our study. What the Lord says, the difference is in homicide and what homicide is. Homicide is not in the scriptures. It's not in there, the word. But the principle, homicide comes from the scriptures. The principle comes from the scriptures. And the law has made a law for every single thing. I mean, I'm surprised they ain't got one for clipping your fingernails. But they're making so many stinking laws they can't even keep up with them themselves. They're overlapping one another. And the problem with laws is that you got to keep them. You got to keep them. And that's why Jesus came. Well, one of the major things that Jesus came, he didn't come to get rid of the law. He came to fulfill it so that we don't have to be under that law no more. Because when you're under the law, you're guilty of it if you don't keep it. And if you break it in one place, you're guilty of all of it. And the law is getting, the law is not like the law when the scripture, when this country took its principles from the Word of God and set up government from the Word of God, it works the best. It works the best. God's words work the best. They just do. And deciding what is murder and what is murder, what is homicide, what is the principles for finding out who killed who and all the little things around there. God didn't, the Lord could put every bit of his rules on one page and did. And if you go by them, you won't have any problems. Not one problem at all about this matter of killing. About this matter of killing. The Lord laid it out, and it's not God's fault that this killing is going on, because it wouldn't be going on if they went by God's principles having to do with killing. But they don't want to go by them. They want to go by their own. And they change them. I don't know how many times a year. It's got to be a whole bunch of times a year, because you watch somebody that does some kind of crazy thing that has to do with killing, and all the stuff that's allowed to be going on. I mean, all the people that are dead that have been killed are not the ones that's living no more. The ones that are living are the ones that killed them. There's something to that. You see, here's another one. Some parents, they beat their boy to death for drinking out of the toilet. I think I mentioned this to you a couple, but they finally went to court and they was charged with murder. They had to study it a little bit to see, because the parents lied to them. It was a mom and a dad caught their boy, he was 6 years old, drinking out of the toilet, and they beat him to death. The mom and dad beat him to death. And they said that he must have been unconscious because his head was still in the toilet when the sheriff come and police showed up, said they said that the reason the child was drinking from the toilet, the reason he wasn't breathing was because his parents got very angry because he was drinking out of the toilet and they started beating him. But when they done an autopsy on him, they found out that it wasn't drowning that killed him. It was being beat to death that killed him. His mom and dad killed him. Killed him. Yeah. So this matter of killing, it's big enough nowadays that you get sick of hearing about it. But, you know, even Hitler said that if you want to change a nation and you want to change a people's thinking, you say something as loud as you possibly can, not try to hide nothing, but tell a lie as loud as you possibly can and as long as you possibly can and as many times as you possibly can. And it said the people will pick it up and believe it and change their thinking about it. And that's what's going on in this nation about killing. A killing is allowed to go on, and there's no repercussions for killing. I mean, oh well, there might be, might put them up in the Hotel Hilton over there behind the bars and everything, and feed them and clothe them and bathe them and let them live out the rest of their life and everything else. But there's no sentence against an evil work anymore. Nobody's scared of the repercussions of doing anything wrong anymore. That's why killing has gotten to the point to where it is, that everybody has to lock everything, everybody has to watch over the shoulder. You can't trust a 12 or a 9-year-old that'll keep from stabbing you to death or killing you or raping you or anything like that. 9 and 10, 11-year-olds. Killing. We're talking about this matter of homicide. A homicide is not written in the Scriptures. It's not a word that God, the Holy Ghost, used in the Scriptures. Homicide is defined as the killing of a human being by another human being. Now, that's just a fundamental definition of homicide. The killing of one human being by another human being. It doesn't say how they killed them. It doesn't say whether it was on purpose or whether it's by accident. It's just homicide is described as somebody dies by the hand of another human being, period. Okay, killed and killing means putting to death. The actual word homicide is not in the Bible, but the act and the description and the evidence of it is. God talks about the principle of the definition of homicide, the killing of a human being by another human being. And the Bible describes as homicide, the Bible describes homicide and what it is, the killing of one human being, how it ought to be treated, how it ought to be looked at, so forth and so on. And how, what, when that person dies and another human being kills them, it's homicide, but there's certain provisions that are provided in the Scriptures of the way that it should be treated and the way it should be carried out and inspected and what happens when somebody dies by God's rules. What does God say? Somebody kills another person, what does God say is supposed to take place? Homicide is the killing of a human being by another human being. Well, if it's on purpose, what's supposed to happen? If it's not on purpose, what's supposed to happen? What are the provisions for it? Well, I can tell you today by just reading the news, and I'm not one that studies law, because the laws change so stinking fast. By the time you study something and get it memorized, it's already changed again. And laws change according to financial means. Laws change, and these are things that God discusses in the Scriptures too. Laws change by favor. Laws change by family. Sorry about that. Laws change accordingly. Laws change according to public opinion. Laws change, and the rules change, and the court changes. And I'd like to not have to say that, but I'd be lying not to. It's true. It's true. Laws today can't be trusted. They can't be trusted. I'm not preaching rebellion and all that stuff. That's not what the Scriptures teach a Christian to do. But as far as the law goes, the law can't be trusted because the law is perverted now. And the main reason that the law is perverted is because God has been taken out of it. But that's not why we're here in our study. We're here in our study to see what the Lord says. The Lord says in His inerrant word about killing. All right, so homicide is described in the Bible. Let's begin. All right, what are the some provisions that are provided, and I'm going to use the word homicide, but when I say it, it's not in the scriptures, but when I say it, we're going to think the killing of a human being by another human being. That is in the scriptures, okay? All right, what are the provisions provided for homicide in the scriptures? What does God's word say when somebody kills another person? What does God's word say? Well, first of all, that there be a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. God says the very first thing that we need to find out is somebody guilty? Who's the guilty one and who's the innocent one? The Bible says that in Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to be reading the Old Testament and the law and God's word. Don't think that that law has gone away because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He said he fulfilled the law. That made God's law is beautiful. The Lord Jesus Christ said that it was perfect and that it was supernatural and that people ought to go by God's law. They ought to go by God's law and lay down standards according to God's word. And government will work. And people will prosper. And people will be able to live together because of God's law. Because God's law is fair. And it's right. And it's truth. You see. But the Bible says that there are some provisions provided for homicide when a person kills another person. The first thing is the distinction between the guilty and the innocent has to be established. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 21, verse 12 through 14, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. Now that doesn't say anything about the guilty or the innocent. It says that if a man kills another man, if a man smites another man so that he die, that one person dies out of this argument or whatever it was, out of this situation, it says that the person that killed him shall surely be put to death. And then it goes on, it says, if a man lie not in wait, now get this, and if a man lie not in wait, he's not hiding around the corner or something like that, waiting for this guy to come by. If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him, deliver the other man into his hand, say a fight breaks out or something like that, and this guy did not intend on killing him and he wasn't waiting on him whenever he did kill him, but God delivered the other man into this man's hand to die, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. In other words, the man that kills the other man and didn't mean to kill him, God says there's going to be a place that he can run to. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor, now here's a whole different matter here, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor, plans on doing it, presumes on doing it, to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Two truths in that scripture right there concerning the distinction between the guilty and the innocent. The first thing is that the Lord says right off the bat, whoever kill one man kills another man, the man that killed him shall surely be put to death. And then he backs up and he says, but wait just a minute. Now here's what I mean. If a man lie not in wait, if he's not planning on it, it's just something that happened. Somebody comes across the medium in a car and runs into the other person because the brakes on the car locked up or something like that, and it's just a matter of happenstance. It's just life. Things happen, and people cross other people's paths, and some people die. The Lord said, and if a man lie not in wait, then God's going to appoint a place that man can run to be safe. All right, but he says then, but if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor and slay him with guile, in other words, he's wicked in his heart, he hates this person, he's got guile and malice against him, and he presumptuously jumps on this guy and kills him, or however he does it, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. In other words, kill him. Kill him, even if he runs to mine altar. In the Old Testament, a person that killed somebody could run to God's altar and take hold of the horns on the altar, and the priest or the slayer or the revenger of blood could not touch him until the matter was talked about. And it was like he got mercy right there until the matter was taken care of and find out what was going on. But the Bible says that if a man presumptuously kills another man to slay him with guile, then he don't even get the privilege of being at the altar. Kill him. Now, this is what God says about killing. Now, I know society don't like the word kill, this thin-skinned, panty-waist society that just can't take death and anybody dying for any reason, even if a 30, 40, 50-year-old man rapes a 10-year-old girl or rapes a little baby infant or something like that, you know, and it dies and stuff like that. There's just no sense in killing or taking life. That's not the way God thinks. God said, kill him. That's what God says. I didn't say it. God says it. I agree with the Lord. But that's what we was talking about a while ago. Why should we kill the guilty if the innocent are already dead? That's their way of thinking. It's not a matter of killing anybody. It's a matter of blood being shed. And the Lord says, whosoever sheds blood by another man's, by man, his blood's going to be shed. It's a matter of equality. Remember, everybody wants equality. Everybody wants to be treated the same. Except when it comes to the matter of killing the guilty. But God says, execute him. All right, let's move on. But the first thing is there has to be a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. This is something where the laws are failing now also. It's not a matter of just finding out whether this man didn't lie in wait. I mean, was it in his heart? Did he plan on doing this? Did he have any reasons to be mad at this person and mad enough to kill him? All right. Or did he come on to him presumptuously? Did he hide around a corner? Did he wait for him to cross the street to run him down with a car? We just got through reading one just a while ago about a fella going to a graveyard to kill his sister with a car. That's presumptuously. That is slaying with guile. The Lord said, put him to death. All right, but the difference is there has to be a distinction of whether somebody's guilty or whether somebody's innocent made first. Now, what does presumptuously mean? Well, presumptuously means in a presumptuous manner. In other words, excessively forward, audacious, even arrogant. Arrogant behavior that you have no right to. A behavior that a human being should not be caught having. Arrogant behavior. Invulnerable to fear or intimidation. Unrestrained by convention. Something that's regarded as normal, they don't care. They're unrestrained when it comes to things that are normal. In other words, your behavior in society and life and things like that, and the regard for life. Or unrestrained by convention or propriety, what's correct or appropriate behavior. Is this person supposed to act this way? Do humans supposed to respond this way when things like this happen? Somebody kills another man. Did that fella that killed that other man react in the way that is appropriate and correct behavior in that type of situation? You see, the Lord knows how to run things. What's this matter? That's presumptuously. In other words, I did it. I don't care what you think. I don't care. I don't care. I killed him. Audacious, arrogant, presumptuous. All right. What is guile? The Lord mentioned that when we was talking about that, and it has to do with whether somebody's guilty or whether somebody is innocent. Guile. Well, guile is shrewdness as demonstrated by being skilled in deception. Sneaky, wily, like the devil, the wiles of the devil. He tricks you. The quality of being crafty. The use of tricks to deceive someone, usually to extract money from them. Chicanery. Craft, craftiness, cunning, deceitfulness, foxiness, shenanigan, slyness, trickery, wile, wiliness. You see guile? What guile is? I mean, was there a plan? Was this matter thought out and imagined and put into a play in this person's mind before they killed that other person? Did they use tricks to do it? Was it for money? Was they going to get anything out of it? Was there any craftiness in it? Was they deceitful when they did it? Was there any slyness or trickery or wiliness going on while this thing happened? You see the difference? The Lord says, if it's presumptuous with guile, put the person to death. All right. First, there has to be a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. Now, what we're talking about is killing and particularly homicide. When a person kills another person, there has to be provisions provided for homicide in the Scriptures. The first thing is a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. The Bible says this in Numbers. Let me read this to you. It says, and listen to the way that God describes the guilty and also describes the innocent and the differences between them in this portion of Scripture I'm going to read to you. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die? Did you get that? If he throws a stone for the purpose of him dying, if he throws a stone, and if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be surely put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred or hurl him at him by laying in wait that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall be surely put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with a stone wherewith he may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge. Now this is six cities that God set up for the Jews. Three of them were on one side of Jordan, three of them were on the other side of Jordan, spread out through the country. All right, and this is where a person that killed another person, committed homicide, could run to. And when they run to the city of refuge, they stayed in there, and the revenger of blood, the one that was coming after him to kill him for murdering, couldn't get to him. Couldn't get to him until this matter was heard and it was judged. All right, picking it back up. Congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he has fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer. Now notice God did not call a man homicide or call him a murderer right away. A man that kills another man according to homicide, and it's not murder, is called a slayer in the scripture. He killed another person. Whether it be he didn't do it intentionally, he's a slayer. If he did it intentionally, he's a murderer. All right, blood killed the slayer. He shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment. That's what we're studying, the distinction between the guilty and the innocent. These things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer, notice he didn't say the slayer, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. How about that? So the first thing we want to establish is a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. The very first thing that needs to be done is to find out why this happened, whether it was intentional, whether a person, it was an accident and the person just slayed this other person by accident or happenstance or time and chance just happened to happen. A distinction needs to be made. And then once the distinction is made, the first thing the fellow does is, if he's a slayer and he kills another person, he runs to one of these cities to be safe. Because as soon as they find out that this other person was killed, there's going to be somebody coming after him to kill him, to put him to death for taking somebody's life. But in order for him to live, if he didn't do it on purpose, he had to go to one of these cities. And once he got into the city, they would do study the thing and find out whether it was on purpose or whether it wasn't on purpose. And if it was on purpose, then they take him from off the they take him away from the out of the city of refuge and away from the altar, and they kill him. They put him to death. But if it was an accident and he didn't intend on do it, he didn't do it with guile, he didn't presume to do it, he didn't have malice in his heart, he didn't hate him, and that guy wasn't his enemy. It was just an accident. He threw a rock and he didn't see the guy. The rock hit him and killed him. So he runs to the city of refuge. Well, once he gets to the city of refuge, the slayer that's coming to put him to death cannot get to him and cannot come into the city of refuge to kill him. But the fellow that killed the slayer, that killed the other person accidentally, without guile and without presuming to do it or presumptuously doing it, he has to stay in that city until the high priest of that city dies. Now, the high priest, I mean, he might live 2 more years, he might live 50 more years, but however many years he lives, that slayer has to stay in that city and spend his life in that city. If he comes out of the city, he's on his own. He has no more protection against him. If he happens to cross paths with the slayer or with the revenger of blood, the revenger of blood can kill him and put him to death for the life of the other person that he accidentally killed. His only protection is in the city of refuge. And then when the high priest dies, the slayer can go back home to wherever he came from, and there are no other discussions about it. The revenger of blood cannot touch him after the high priest dies. He can go back home and life goes on. So that's the way God set it up about finding this matter. The first thing is the distinction between the guilty and the innocent. Now, what else? Well, there has to be a determination of guilt. There has to be a determination of guilt. In Numbers chapter 35 and verse 24 through 30, listen to what the Bible says. Then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, the revenger of blood shall not be guilty of blood. Now there's three words right there that put a good description around this whole matter that we're talking about. Guilty of blood. When Cain killed Abel, God had a conversation with Cain after that and asked him where his brother was. He said, what, am I my brother's keeper? Getting smart aleck with the Lord. So the Lord backed up and said, well, listen, your brother's blood is crying out from the earth to me. Where is he and what have you done? Guilty of blood. Shedding blood. The Lord said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you shed somebody's blood, you're shedding the life of that person out of them. The blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, the Lord said. So we're talking about a determination of guilt. The congregation does it. There cannot be less than 2 witnesses. Remember at Jesus' trial? They had a bunch of witnesses that came up, but none of them said the same thing. So they killed Jesus for a lot of wrong reasons, but one of them was unjustly because there was no witnesses there was not 2 witnesses that told the same thing. And the Bible clearly states that a man shall not be put to death by one person's testimony. It has to be 2 or more. Guilty of blood. because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest, but after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death. He didn't say the slayer. He said the murderer. The person that did it on purpose and did it because he wanted the end result of that person dead. The murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, plural. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. God's law. Now, if that matter was going on today, there would be a whole lot less court cases just because death was carried out. But today, there's no provision for anything. If you get a death penalty, you get to live 30 more years because you're going through 10 different, appeals, which take approximately 20, 30 years or whatever. But you don't die. In the scriptures, if you're determined to be guilty, you die right away. You die right away. And the matter's over with. All right? Now, not only that, we're talking about provisions provided for homicide in the scriptures. Well, first, there has to be a distinction between the guilty and the innocent. The next thing is a determination of guilt. Is he guilty? Yes. Then we determine him to be guilty. What else? A detention in the city of refuge. These are provisions that the Lord provided for this matter of homicide. You see it? A distinction between the guilty and innocent, whether he is guilty or innocent, the congregation and the revenger of blood and all this are coming into action. And then there's a determinant of whether he's guilty, and by the means of what God says of whether he's guilty or not, whether he did it out of guile or presumptuously did it, or whether he was his enemy before he did it, is there two people that are saying the same thing? Or is there just one? Or is there none? You see. Well, and then the last thing is that God provided for this matter of homicide, for one man killing another man, is no defilement of the land by slack justice. This country could take note on that. Numbers chapter 35, the Bible says in chapter 35 and verse, 31 and 34, listen to this. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. In other words, if a man is determined to be guilty, he's been tried by the matters of the congregation that God laid down for him to try it. He went to the city of refuge. The congregation got him and tried it and heard all this. Was there two witnesses against him? Did they say the same thing? And is he, if he's been determined as guilty, moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. If his mommy and daddy are millionaires, they can't give millions of dollars to keep him from being killed and put to death. No satisfaction can be accepted for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. Defile not, therefore, the land which ye shall inhabit wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. God says once he's been determined guilty as a murderer, which is guilty of death, put him to death. Period. That's what the Bible says. Now, we know in the New Testament, and I'm bringing part of this in because it deserves to be brought in, is grace. Paul was a murderer. Paul put people to death, Christians to death. Moses put people to death. David put people to death. David was a murderer, and they got grace. God can give his grace any time, but we're not talking about grace, and we're not talking about being before the Lord we're talking about the law. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about what is homicide, and how does the Bible say to treat the matter of homicide when a man kills another man? We're not talking about grace. If grace comes into the matter and the Lord brings the grace into the matter, wonderful. But according to the law, King David should have been put to death. He should have ran to the city of refuge. According to the law, Moses should have been put to death. But there was no law yet. Moses hadn't received it. According to the law, down through the scriptures, a lot of people should have been put to death. But you see, the Lord is the one that can give grace and forgiveness and forgive sins. But that does not mean that you set your laws up like that. That's the way everything is now. They're saying, grace, grace, grace. Yeah, we know that he raped that little infant, and we know that he's had a record of being violent his entire life and everything else, and he did kill another man. That is homicide. I mean, he is a murderer. But let's don't kill him. We're talking about what does the Bible say about homicide in God's rule. In God's rule. The Bible says when Jesus comes to set up, when he comes at the second coming, he's not coming as a lamb. He's coming as a king and coming as a lion. And he's coming down here and he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and the capital of the world is going to be Jerusalem. And all men are going to come and give account to the Lord Jesus Christ there. And he's going to rule and reign the entire world with a rod of iron. There ain't going to be none of this blabbity, blabbity, blab, 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 and paying off and paying people off, and that's my son, and I'm the, you know who I am, and he can't die, and ain't gonna be none of that. It's going back under the law when the Lord gets here. We're under grace now. We're under grace. But grace comes from a conversation between you, your guilt, and the Lord, not the law. It's not the discussion of the law. It's a discussion of your guilt and forgiveness and repentance between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with the law, grace. Now, God can give grace anytime he feels like it. And anytime he wants to. And the Bible says he stands ready to forgive. But just because God is standing ready to forgive does not mean that you get forgiveness under the law. The law is the law. God's law. And he said, put the murderer to death. We're talking about homicide. A person killing another human being. And he differentiates which is which. One of them is a slayer, and one of them is a murderer. You see. But when it comes to this matter of grace, that's between the individual their guilt, their sins, and the Lord, and a conversation between them, and then the Lord decides about the grace. You see, grace is something that's not given to a person that is innocent. Grace is something that's given to a person that's guilty and needs grace. But the law is the law. And that's what we're talking about. What does the Lord say about homicide? What are the provisions in the scriptures that the Lord provides for homicide? Well, a distinction between the guilty and the innocent has to be established. A determination of guilt has to be established. And a detention in the city of refuge needs to be available if he is not a murderer and a slayer. But you notice that life is so important, even killing somebody by accident and taking their life away by accident and not meaning it, still brings about detention in your life. It's going to cost you to take life. It won't cost you your life, but it will cost you. There are repercussions to killing and taking somebody's life, whether you meant to, even if you meant not to. You got to go to the city of refuge and stay there until the high priest dies. So you see the importance of life. Even God made a place to keep you out of danger of dying when it wasn't your fault from the revenger of blood until the high priest died. And when the high priest dies, it changes everything, and the revenger of blood's not involved anymore. But the blood has to be accounted for. That's what God was questioning Cain about. Abel's blood was crying out to God. What else? Well, not only this matter of homicide, as described in the Bible, does there have to be provisions provided for homicide that the Lord laid out, but laid them out pretty clear, too. I mean, there's no confusion in that. But the next thing, I think we're going to stop right there, and we'll go into the next one, so we'll have time to talk about it. But what we've talked about today is homicide, what it is, and the provisions provided for homicide in the scriptures, which are: there has to be a distinction between the guilty and the innocent, there has to be a determination of guilt, and there has to be a detention in the city of refuge available. Okay? And also one other: no defilement of the land by slack judgment. God says if the man's guilty, he gets what's coming to him. If he's innocent, he gets what's coming to him. No slack justice. Because the Bible says when you slacken the justice and you respect one person over another, and you are defiling the land, not using God's judgment and judgment that is right, and being just in every matter, no respect of persons, but being just, the Lord says when you veer from that, you defile the land. Can you see why America stinks now? But yes, there is grace. Praise the Lord for grace. We all needed God's grace, didn't we? And we're all guilty of something. But remember what we're talking about in here, and we'll bring the grace part in later on. But what we're talking, what this study mainly is about, is killing, and what the Bible says about it, and what a person's mind should be concerning it. People should still be sensitive and have a conscience for life. When a life is taken or a life is accidentally put out, when a life is taken away, there should be mourning, there should be sensitivity, there should be a conscience about that. And that's not what's in society today. That's not what's out there now. Nobody cares. But they're supposed to, and your heart is supposed to be. You talk about grace is not just getting away and getting away and not getting the punishment that you deserve, but grace is an opportunity to have your conscience and your mind and your heart straight and right. And see, that's what Jesus brought into the picture. The spiritual matters of the heart. But we're talking about killing. And let me give you the scriptures for today, okay? And if you're ready to take those, and I'll give them to you. Not very many, but mostly the Old Testament, and just seeing what God has laid out there. And you read over them, okay? Exodus chapter 21, verse 12 through 14. Numbers chapter 35, verse 16 through 23. Numbers chapter 35, verse 24 through 30. Numbers chapter 35, verse 11 through 15. Numbers chapter 35, verse 31 and 34. And I think that's it. That's it. That's it for today. Okay? So, you say, well, Brother TV, what, should we just take everybody that kills somebody that are murderers and go and put them to death? That's what the Bible says. And that is, there are other countries right this very minute that do that very thing. They execute murderers immediately. If they are determined, and you look it up, there's other countries that do this. And they don't even know that God's law is like that. They just do it naturally because that's the thing that should be done. That's the way people are supposed to think when they take lives from other people, when they take somebody else's life. It's only in a wicked country and a country that has booted God out that they get so corrupt that they think, let's all come together and let's not hurt anybody except for the victims. We can't help that people died by the hand of other people, but I mean, even if he did kill somebody, we can still save his life. That's the mind of society today. But what does the Bible say? That's what we want to see, and that's what we want to hear is what God says. Well, Jesus said to love everybody and thou shalt not kill. And well, yeah, he did. Yes, he did. He also said thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Well, what are the provisions for, according to Jesus, about murder? Jesus is God. And Jesus fulfilled the law. We'll understand it more as we go through it. We're just getting a kind of a layout right now of what the scriptures describe about homicide. And about a man killing another man, whether it be on purpose or whether it be on purpose as a murderer or by accident, and just happenstance, just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time and the wrong thing happened, a slayer. But both of them get a title. One of them's a murderer, and one of them's a slayer. Why? Because life was taken. You got to remember that God is a God of life. He is life himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. All right, well, we'll stop right there, and we'll pick it up on the next one. And what we're going to talk about on the next one is murder as described in the Bible. What does the Bible say murder is? Well, we've almost touched that with this lesson, haven't we? We established the difference between the guilty and the innocent and God's mind concerning that. And it's very simple, isn't it? It's not hard to figure out. You don't have to do DNA testing. You don't have to have 50 million televised courtroom appearances and the DNA and the tracks on the ground and the car tire tracks and the castings and all this blobbity blabbity. Did the man mean to do it? Court closed. Okay. So we'll stop right there, and we'll just go on through the scriptures and find out what God the Holy Ghost's mind is about this matter of killing, okay? And I appreciate you, and appreciate you studying, and read over those verses, let your mind absorb them, and they become part of you, and part of your thinking, and part of the way you react toward things. That's what wonderful thing about God's Word is, when you get it in you, you react the proper way about things in life. And you think and react these things. All right, this is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you soon on the next one. Bye-bye.